Let's take our Bibles this evening and open up to the book of Jude as we continue our study there.
We're still in the same verse we've been in for a little while now, and we'll have, I expect, one more week in the book of Jude, verse number 11, and then we'll move on from that point. But God is talking about these certain men crept in unawares. Now, they were stirring up a lot of trouble, primarily because they were there for the wrong reasons and they were teaching the wrong things. And this isn't something that was a first century phenomena. It's something that's still taking place today. And as I study and read, I think of names of men that are televangelists or pastoring large churches or small churches, for whatever. It's irrelevant. There's a lot of men out there for the wrong reason, teaching the wrong things. And that's unfortunate. It doesn't make God happy. If you remember, verse 11 starts out with what word? The word woe. That's God's reaction to these folks. He says, woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. We saw last time the way of Cain. Today I'd like to focus in on the running greedily after the error of Balaam. Balaam, of course, is an Old Testament character, an actual historical person, by the way, not just the subject of a Bible story. Now, what is unique about Balaam? Guy?
He was the only person ever to have a conversation with an animal.
Yeah. The only person that we have on record of having a conversation with an animal. Well, wouldn't that be cool? Sometimes you wish your dog could talk or your cat could talk, but guess what? They say meow or bow wow, and that's about as far as they go. But his went a little further, and we'll talk about that perhaps in just a little while. But we're talking about the way of Balaam, the way of Balaam. And essentially, it's just the fact that, this is capital letter A, the delusion of Balaam. His way is that he thought he could use his spiritual gifts for personal gain. Now, it was mentioned that he was a prophet, and he was a God-ordained prophet, and it's interesting that, you know, he had quite a reputation around his time of, if he blessed someone in the name of the Lord, God blessed them, and if he cursed someone in God's name, that person was cursed. And that's how he earned his money, because people would pay him. Look in Numbers chapter 22. Numbers chapter 22. We find that Balak, the Moabite king, says exactly what I just said. In Numbers chapter 22, verse number 6. Come now therefore, this is Balak talking to Balaam. Come now, therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people, that people, of course, being the Jews, for they are too mighty for me. Peradventure I shall prevail, that we may smite them, and that I may drive them out of the land, for I wot, or that word, W-O-T, wot, means no, for I know, or I wot, that he whom thou blessest is blessed, and he whom thou cursest is cursed. Now, that's kind of an interesting statement. Boy, what a testimony Balaam had up to that point in time. Now, he's going to destroy everything God had done with him in just a moment's time here. In fact, he's already done it just by being there, meeting with Balak. And we'll talk about that in just a minute as well. But the fact is, he was a prophet of God. Now, here you have this idolatrous And you really can't say anything good about this man, but this idolatrous pagan king. And their ways were terrible. And what he had the young people and his, particularly the young ladies of his people do, and after a little bit, is just amazing to think that a man would do that and call himself the leader of his people. The guy was a miserable piece of human flesh, just a waste of God's air. As far as I'm concerned, but when he wanted God to work, he says, I know a man of God. He doesn't worship our gods. In fact, he doesn't worship gods in plurality. He doesn't have any idols or images that he bows down before. He doesn't do the things that we do. He's a different type of a person, his religion, but I know he has the ear of God. Boy, that's the kind of testimony I wish every Christian had today. Because if we had that kind of a testimony, then the world wouldn't be the way it is today. Unfortunately, there's too many that are following after the way or the error of Balaam. Because those that have spiritual gifts too often try to use it for personal gain. I have one name for you that'll explain it all. Jimmy Baker. Did any of you ever watch him back on the old PTL club? Isn't that a tragedy? Maybe you never did, but that guy was always hawking something. And what got him in trouble, he's built this great big luxury hotel, and he did it by selling stays at that hotel. Well, they have rules on how many you can sell based on the occupancy levels so that you don't get 50 people showing up for the same room on the same night. Well, he didn't care. He was just out for the money. He was a modern day Balaam. Well, I don't know that he is because he never had the testimony that he had the ear of God. God is a charlatan from day number one. But there's a lot of people out there taking that stand and doing the same thing. They're only in it for the money. Now, what did he hope to gain from helping Balak? We're still in Numbers chapter 22. Let's back up to, or forward to verse number 7, the next verse. The elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the rewards of divination in their hand. And they came unto Balaam and spake unto him in the words of Balak. And so they have the rewards of divination. What do you suppose that is? It's money, silver and gold. It's referenced a little bit later in this chapter, in verse number 18. And Balaam answered and said unto the servants of Balak, if Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go. In other words, they were going to pay him and pay him well if he'll just come and do their bidding. And so it involves money. And with this kind of person, it's all about the money. There's no concern over the spiritual welfare or the souls of those that they claim to minister to. You say that doesn't happen today. Those televangelists, man, they really care about me. If I send them some money, they'll send me a prayer rug. It's actually a piece of paper that's folded up to fit in the envelope. But they'll pray for me. Yeah, right. Isn't that what you just said, Donna? You were saying that you beat me to it. But yeah, like they're going to pray for you. They're going to pray on you, but they're not going to pray for you. They don't care. These men are cold, they're callous, they're uncaring, they're fueled by the error of Balaam, which is worldly reward. That's all they're interested in. They're fueled by covetousness and being promoted in this world, getting a following, because a following means money, and money is what they're after. And if they have to pretend to care, then they're going to pretend to care just to get the money. You'd be surprised at the number, and I tell you, if you watch radio preachers, that'd be a real trick, wouldn't it? If you listen to radio preachers and watch television preachers, the majority of them, they'll ruin you, because these men are what's talked about right here in the book of Jude. There's certain men crept in unawares. And so the first thing we find, that would be small letter A under number one. What did he hope to gain from helping Balak? He hoped to gain money. It was all about the money. And then we also find that he wanted honor. He thought he would gain honor. He was just a small-time prophet off in a small, now I don't know if it's a small country town, but I imagine it was, but he thought, man, I've hit the big time. Balak's going to really make me something if I just go and do what he wants me to do, and I'll have a whole nation that just honors me, and maybe I'll even have a holiday each year named after me, And man, they'll just all love me and they'll send me all kinds of money and presents and they'll bow down in the street as I walk by them. And I don't know if that's what he was thinking, but that's kind of the attitude that he had. He wanted that honor. He wanted to be promoted in society. And that's always a concerning thing too. You say, well, that'll never happen, an independent fundamental Baptist. Yeah, it does. It really does. Some past presidential nominees and men that won the White House, they wanted the independent Baptist vote. And down in Ohio, men clamoring over politicians. I know one pastor, and I sure hope God called him to do what he's doing. But he resigned his position as pastor of his church because he got elected to the state legislature. Now, I'm glad he's there because he's a good man. But I look at that as a terrible demotion. He's probably making a lot more money, and he certainly has a lot better benefits. But that's a demotion in my book. I just don't understand it. Why would we clamor after political office? Because we want honor. You see, that's one of the things that the devil used to draw Balaam into his trap and destroy his testimony from that point forward. Every man, it said, has his price. When the first ambassadors went from Balak to talk to Balaam, it's interesting. Look at verse number 12. God gave Balaam an answer. Was that answer crystal clear, or was it kind of foggy and muddy? In verse number 12, and God said unto Balaam, what does that next statement say? Thou shalt not go with them. Now, that's just your interpretation. I'm sure you misread that because you're just too critical and too literalistic in your approach. I'm sure what that meant was that all that the reason he shouldn't go is because he needs to hold out for bigger and better, for more money and greater honor. I'm sure that's what it, this is the way Balaam took it, because he sent those guys away and Balak said, well, we'll send more ambassadors that are in a higher position and with more money, promising more honor. And so that happens. And guess what? Look at verse number 19. Now therefore, I pray you, he's talking to the ambassadors, tarry ye also here this night, that I may know what the Lord will say unto me more. What more does God have to say? I think he made it abundantly clear. I don't think I was up for negotiation. I don't think that was a suggestion. Like I said, I don't think that has any other interpretation. You know what people throw in our face? That's just your interpretation. When they don't want to obey God's word or accept God's word. All right, verse number 20. God had something to say. God came unto Balaam at night and said unto him, now I think this is just God's grace that he would come to Balaam. He knew Balaam was being tested by the devil and tempted. And he knew that Balaam was struggling, and he wanted Balaam to succeed. God never wants his people to fail, ever. But he knew he was being tempted, and so he came at night and said unto him, if the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them. Now, when I read those words, rise up, the way I understand it, now, it doesn't say it specifically, so you're okay to disagree with me, but I have my reasons, biblical reasons for understanding it this way. What God is telling Balaam, says, look, if these guys get up before you and they come pounding on your door and say, hey, it's time to go, let's get moving, then it's okay to go with them. I think that's what he means by rise up. I think he's still in bed. That's God's terms. All right, here's how you know your answer, Balaam. If they get up before you and they come after you and bang on your door, is that what Balaam does? Does he wait in bed for these guys to come call him? Look at the next verse, verse 21. And Balaam rose up in the morning and saddled his ass and went with the princes of Moab. Nowhere do we find these guys coming and knocking on his door and saying, hey, let's go. Are you coming? We got all kinds of gold waiting for you back in Moab. No, I think he was so excited at the prospects of the money and the honor that he didn't care what God had to say. And that's just what happens when we're tempted to sin. It just gets to the point where we don't really care what God says. We know what he says, but we just don't care. We're going to do it anyway because we've carried away of our own lusts. And this is where his ass steps in and tries to help him, avoiding the angel that's there that would have killed Balaam. Now, if God had given him permission, if I'm understanding his rising up incorrectly, then why did God send the angel to slay Balaam? He says to Balaam a little bit later, you know, if your animal hadn't intervened on your behalf, I would have killed you these three times. So I don't believe he was supposed to have ever gone. After the third time, after God had to talk to him through the ass, God finally says, well, I guess you're going whether I say so or not. So here's the rules. And God wouldn't let him curse Israel. So now I believe Balaam got paid off well. How did he obtain his reward? We've got to turn over to Numbers chapter 31 to see this. Numbers chapter 31, verses 15 and 16. Now this is later on. Moses said unto them, have you saved all the women alive? This is after they destroyed the Moabites, but they brought back the captives, the women. Verse 16, behold, these caused the children of Israel through the counsel of Balaam to commit trespass against the Lord in the matter of Peor. And there was a plague among the congregation of the Lord. And so what we find is that Balaam gave counsel to Balak. He couldn't curse them. God wouldn't allow that. But as he was leaving, he said, hey, Balak, you want to see God strike these people down? Here's what you do. And that leads us into capital letter B. And we really got to move because there's not a lot of time left. And this is the doctrine of Balaam. The doctrine of Balaam. Now, God identifies that doctrine for us. And we're going to come back to Numbers. I hope you haven't turned from there yet. But so hold up something, you know, bookmark or something or a finger in there. Revelation chapter number 2, verse number 14. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. And so Balaam's doctrine was that God's people can mimic the world without any consequences. Well, we could park all day on that one, mimicking the world. And just go to church services where I remember hearing of a church in Mansfield, Ohio that, and I may have mentioned this in the past, I probably have because I just can't believe it, that if you wanted to hear a song that the Beatles sang, you just submit it and their worship and praise band will play it for you in church. And, it's just crazy. But that's what's going on in churches, mimicking the world. Why is the music the way it is in so many churches? Because they're mimicking the world. Why have these things gone the way of the dinosaur? Because we're trying to mimic the world. And I'm talking about the preachers. When I'd go on vacation, I never wore a tie and a jacket. And I had more than one preacher tell me, because I'm a pastor incognito. And they say, I wish I could do that, but I don't mind a tie. But, you know, we just put our preachers on stools. We get rid of this thing, the pulpit. We sit on a stool and we have a little talk. Most of the service is spent by the praise and worship team, and they have no understanding what praise or worship really is. And they think it's just in the loud, throbbing music and the beat of the drum and the pounding of the bass guitar. And they think that's worship. When their eardrums are getting blown out, they don't have a clue. But they're mimicking the world. Mimicking the world. The Rick Warren philosophy, let's look and sound and smell and taste just like the world so that they'll just love us and accept Christ because of their love for us and our love for the world. That's such a flawed philosophy. Whatever happened to light? You know what makes light light? Because it's different than the darkness. You go into a dark room, you turn a light on. Aren't you glad that light isn't dark? You know, that happens sometimes. You turn it on, there's just this bright flash and it's gone and it's still dark. Well, that light's not light. How much good is that? What do you do with it? Yeah, you get rid of it and you throw it away. I'm glad God doesn't throw Christians like that away. He gives them opportunity. But there comes a point where they've been on the shelf too long, you might as well just get rid of them. They're taking up space. And he calls them home, oftentimes prematurely. You know, we need to be light. We got to quit this doctrine of Balaam in our world today, where we're mimicking the world. I thought a long time about the right word for that. Acting like the world, isn't it? Or talking like the world. It's mimicking. Trying to be just like them. It's a terrible thing. And our dress standards and everything. The way we talk, we try to mimic the world. And we think the world's going to love us because we're just like them. No, they aren't. They're going to laugh behind our backs. They're going to call us hypocrites. And they're going to not believe we are who we say we are. So what two sins are committed? Both of them are listed here in Revelation chapter 2, verse 14. There's idolatry and there's fornication. They're also found there in Numbers 25, verses 1 and 2. And I'll read those verses as quickly as I can, so you listen as quickly as you can. And Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. There's your fornication. And they called the people unto the sacrifices of their gods, and the people did eat and bowed down to their gods. There's your idolatry. And so, what a terrible thing. They're mimicking the world. Now, what happened as a result of that? Well, God judged them as a nation. So, how many people died as a result of Balaam's advice to Balak? Well, it tells us, I'm glad you wondered about that, verse number 9. And those that died in the plague were 24,000. How would you like to be Balaam? 24,000 people die. These are just the Israelites. This doesn't include the Moabites. And we read of at least one getting killed. I assume there were many, many more, thousands of times more. How would you like to be in his bed that night? Probably filled with the gold and the silver, his price of divination. He's saying, man, I made it to the big time now. And have 24,000 plus souls, blood on your hands. You know what? He could care less. That's what the error of Balaam is all about. Running greedily after the error of Balaam. It's all about the money. It's all about the honor. Who cares about the people that have souls, that have lives, that have feelings, have emotions? It's all irrelevant. I'm going to grab all I can grab, and that's all it's about. I'm reading a really good book right now. It's about a lady who is a missionary's wife. They went on to become, with BIMI, the American field director. But they were in Senegal. And the book is all about just simply yielding everything to Christ. And she talked about some of the things she went through and stayed there. She talked about their hospital, and I'll probably put something in it in the bulletin at some point, just so you get an idea what the mission field is like. But just how the hospital in their city was just filthy. She saw people getting vaccinated. They'd line up in a long line. They'd stick one, stick another, and they never changed the needle. They all got vaccinated with the same needle. They had just one big ward with the beds in it, men and women in the same ward. And guess where the bathroom was? Wherever you went. And it's disgusting. And her daughter was interested in nursing. And so she helped out at the hospital. And then they went to the States on furlough. And they were in a hospital for a friend or relative, I don't remember exactly now. And as they were leaving the hospital, that girl, teenage girl, broke down in tears because she knew that Americans took for granted what we have for medical care, because all she knew was what they had there in Senegal. They weren't there for the money. They weren't there for the honor. They were there because God called them to reach souls and to minister. People like Balaam aren't there for the souls or the people to minister. They're there for the money. And so he could care less that that many died. All right, the death of Balaam is recorded for us in Numbers 23. How did he die? By the sword, the Israelite sword. But I want to look at 2 Peter because I'm out of time, and so I'm trying to conclude this very quickly. 2 Peter chapter 2. How does God describe Balaam's behavior, his greediness, and his lack of care, genuine concern for the souls and well-being of others? In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 15 and 16, "Which have forsaken the right way and have gone astray, following the way of Balaam the son of Beor, who loved the wages of righteousness and was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumb ass, speaking with man's voice, forbade the what of the prophet?" Madness. God looks down from heaven, and not only does he proclaim woe, but he says, these people aren't in their right minds. These people are crazy. Sometimes we say we're crazy. I think all Baptist preachers are crazy. But I mean that in a different way. We're crazy for the Lord, and we could care less about everything else, but these people are just insane. That's what God is talking about, who are in it for the money, following the error of Balaam. They're still with us today, and we need to be careful about who we listen to and who we watch, because they're out there. They could care less about you. They want your money, and they want your adoration, but they could care less about you. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the warnings. Father, help us to have a genuine concern and love for others. Help us to be light. Help us to avoid this error of Balaam, this desire to mimic the world about us. Help us to always be different and glorify you in our lives, the way we dress, the way we talk, the activities we participate in, even our demeanor and our compassion for others. Well, thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.